From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will provide insights into the various aspects of our Lord's temporal ministry, from His teaching and miracles to His atoning death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Abiding in Obedience in Love. The text is John 15, verse 10, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. These things cannot be parted. Abiding in obedience, and abiding in the love of Jesus. A life under the rule of Christ can alone prove that we are the objects of our Lord's delight. We must keep our Lord's command if we would bask in His love. If we live in sin, we cannot live in the love of Christ. Without the holiness which pleases God, we cannot please Jesus. He who cares nothing for holiness knows nothing of the love of Jesus. Conscious enjoyment of our Lord's love is a delicate thing. It is far more sensitive to sin and holiness than mercury is to cold and heat. When we are tender of heart and careful in thought, lip, and life to honor our Lord Jesus, then we receive tokens of His love without number. If we desire to perpetuate such bliss, we must perpetuate holiness. The Lord Jesus will not hide His face from us, unless we hide our face from Him. Sin makes the cloud which darkens our sun. If we will be watchfully obedient and completely consecrated, we may walk in the light as God is in the light, and have as sure an abiding in the love of Jesus as Jesus has in the love of the Father. Here is a sweet promise with a solemn if. Lord, let me have this if in my hand. For as a key, it opens this casket. In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. In the course of these studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a message called Christ Taking Galilee by Storm Through the Power of the Holy Spirit. Having departed from Judea, Christ came into the despised region of Galilee, and there he demonstrated his mighty power in dealing with the grip Satan had on the lives of the people. In Luke chapter 4, we're told that Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom, which is simply the sphere of the king's reign. As the promised king, Christ defeats all of his and our enemies. He told his disciples that he would build his church, and through the preaching of the gospel, that's exactly what he is doing. In spite of what some may say, the age of the church is not over. Indeed, her best days are yet to come, for Christ will be glorified in the salvation of all those for whom he died. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Christ Taking Galilee by Storm Through the Power of the Holy Spirit.
Now it's very interesting that when the Father spoke to His Son about His messianic position and work. He said, "Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." What's the significance of that? Hebrews 7 makes it clear. Verses 1 and 2. "This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Now, I want you to put this together. Here's a priest who is the king. And we are told Christ is made after the order of Melchizedek. Now turn to Zechariah 6, verse 13. "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. Rule as a priest upon his throne." You know, in the Old Testament, the kings were in Israel were theocratic. What does that mean? I think Fairbairn put it as well as anybody. The king was consecrated by the priest and instructed by the prophet that he might administer the laws and ordinances of God who had given him the throne and whose will he existed to enforce and obey. So the king was anointed by the priest and he was instructed by the prophet. But the Lord Jesus combined all three. He is the true theocratic king because he is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king. John announced him. John bore witness to him. But I want you to understand this. The Lord Jesus did not need anybody to authorize him. The Lord Jesus did not need anybody to anoint him. He had his anointing directly from the Father as he anointed him with the Spirit and with power. And thus, as the promised priest king, the Lord Jesus commanded faith and repentance. And he promised the blessedness of eternal life. Now, this was his message. The gospel. The king has come. The kingdom has come. As he said, it is within you. Perhaps some dispute over this. Perhaps indicating it is among you. I think actually both ideas are in there. Kingdom is among you. Kingdom is within you. Why? Because where Jesus is, the kingdom is. That's what he's saying. Where Jesus is, the kingdom is. He says, "I have come to preach the gospel of the kingdom." A message that proclaimed his person, prophet, priest, and king. That's still the message. Men and women, I want you to understand that the message has never altered. The message of the gospel is preeminently a message about the person of Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of God become man to be our prophet, to make known unto us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Jesus is the prophet proclaiming the message, which is himself. That's where he differs from every other prophet. Jesus is not only the one who brings the word, he is the word. He not only gives the message, he is the message. Christ is the good news. Christ has come. It's a message about his person. I want you to understand that. I get so grieved when people present the gospel as a plan. Now, there is a plan in the gospel, but you're never saved by a plan. There's no power in learning a plan. The gospel is a person. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Christ of God, the anointed of God, the Savior of sinners, the priest king, the priest to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself and the shedding of his blood, the king to administer grace to the needy, to subdue their iniquities and bring them to submission to himself. Oh, that's the gospel of the person. As I've preached already, this message proclaims his power. He exercised that fullness of divine supremacy in the interest of divine glory. I think of Isaiah's words, quoting the Lord Jehovah, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions." Why? For mine own sake. The exercise of grace is for glory. The exercise of divine sovereignty is for God's glory. The exercise of Christ's supremacy is for God's glory. That's why he saves us, to glorify him. And all that exercise of mighty power, of a divine supreme sway over men and over devils, is a glorious and kingly thing. This is what gives me confidence for the ministry of the church. You always hear, you know, that the church age is almost over, that God has finished with the church. That sort of garbage has been going around for decades and even for over a century now. We've got to come up with something new. It's not a church. You want to make church look anything like anything but church. There are people who turn their church on a Saturday evening to make it look like a bar. They bring in bar stools. They sit around sipping soft drinks in a bar-like atmosphere with bar-like music and all the rest of it. Anything to stop it looking like church. Behind it all is this notion of we've got to be relevant to the modern man, and really the old church age is over. Absolute rubbish. The church has yet to see its greatest days. Let me make that clear to you. Church of Christ has its greatest victories yet before it. Christ is the King, and he's preaching his power and his purpose to bring sinners to righteousness. Now, there's a big subject. I should sit down now and let Mark Allison come and preach for a while, for we're on his favorite ground. To preach to sinners and bring them into righteousness. To constitute the guilty as righteous in the sight of God by imputing to them the very righteousness of Christ and his obedience. And then to enable them to live a sanctified life in a righteous submission to him who saved them. You know, the Lord is doing that. Every Christian here this morning, what is he? Have a good look in the mirror. See what you are. You know, all you are is a bundle of corruption. I was just thinking of this in my study this morning. Isaiah chapter 1 is often quoted as a proof text for depravity. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been mollified and are bound up. That's true. That's depravity. But that's not what Isaiah intended to teach. It wasn't depravity. Oh, that's understood. But what he's really teaching is stubbornness, impenitence. He's saying God has whipped you. God has wounded you. God has used circumstances to hurt you. He has spoken to you. He has called to you. He has chastened you. He has left you from head to toe with the marks of divine chastening to bring you to repentance, and you will not repent. That's stubbornness, impenitence. So we've got depravity, and we've got stubborn impenitence. And yet these are the very people that King Jesus has subdued and brought to righteousness and peace. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you been brought out of your sin to be clothed with the righteous merit of Christ? Have you been brought out of your stubborn rebellion to live in a righteous submission to Christ, your King? Have you been brought out of the turmoil of your sin into the peace of believing? Is that your testimony? If not, you need to be saved. And I want to introduce you to the person who can do it, even Christ the King. How can you be saved? He gives what we could call a prescript here, a command, an order for life. Matthew tells us that he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did that entail? Mark says in chapter 1, verse 15, that he preached, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." How can you be saved? Are you a sinner? Then repent. Do you give up all hope in yourself? Recognizing Christ as the Son of God and the Savior who died and rose again and is mighty to save. Then believe the gospel. Repent and believe. And you'll enter the kingdom. The promise of the kingdom is life forevermore, as Matthew 19, 16 and 23 make clear. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. Now I've got through 1/4 of what I had intended to preach, so you'll see that time has not changed me. We're looking at Christ taking Galilee by storm by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know, that's history. What I want to know this morning is that he has taken your heart by storm by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to know that you have bowed the knee to crown him King of your life. May God grant it. If you're not saved, don't leave that way. Do not leave until on bended knee you have submitted to Christ. Then you will know that righteousness, that peace, and that joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father, we thank Thee for our dear Redeemer. We bless Thee for the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and of God. We praise Thee for that gracious kingdom of salvation that overcomes the empire of evil, the dominion of Satan. Lord, we thank Thee that the King is coming. And we look forward to his return. We thank you, Lord, he's not coming in order simply to become a king, but he's coming because he is the King. And oh, we would welcome his approach. Father, speak to every heart. Give fruit for the preaching of the Word of God, and grant that this Sabbath day the lost will be won by the power of our God, and that the saints will be revived and stirred and encouraged and blessed as the Spirit would apply the Word to the heart. Hear our prayer. And part is now with thy very richest blessing. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought church, both this Sabbath day and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in matchless glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.